This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We'll take a look at your grain futures on the Chicago Board of Trade. They continue to climb on Monday. December corn was 5.25 cents higher to 374. March corn was 4.5 cents higher to 386. May corn was up 4 to 394.5. Soybeans Monday for November gained a penny and a quarter to $9. January beans were a penny and a half higher to 9.13¾. March beans were up 1¾ to 9.25¾. On to Chicago wheat, the December contract Monday gained 5¼ to 4.88¾. March wheat gained 5¾ to 4.95¼. May wheat gained 5¾ to 4.99¾. Soybean meal for October lost 2.70 to 2.95.20. December bean meal lost 2.60 to 2.98.90. January bean meal lost 2.50 to $300.80. Finally, soybean oil for October gained 85 cents to 30.14. December bean oil gained 85 cents as well to 30.28. And January soybean oil also gained 85 cents to 30.49. So to recap your grain futures from Monday, corn was up 4 to 5, beans up 1 to 2, Chicago wheat was up 5 to 6, soybean meal down 2.50 to 2.70, and soybean oil gained 85 cents on Monday. Now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Monday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Monday's reported grain price returns per the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Ellen County grain prices are higher on Monday afternoon. This afternoon's crop progress report. Corn in Illinois is 1% harvested. Nationwide, we're at 4% harvested. In Illinois, corn is 41% good to excellent. Last week, we were 46% good to excellent. Nationwide, corn was 55% good to excellent. Last week, at 58%. And 1 year ago, corn was 68% good to excellent. Soybeans in Illinois are 42% good to excellent. Last week, at 46%. Nationwide, soybeans were 54% good to excellent. Last week, at 55% good to excellent. And 1 year ago, soybeans were 67% good to excellent. In northern West Illinois country, grain deals quoted shell corn bids up 5 to 6 cents at 3.25 to 3.69. Soybean bids were a penny higher at 8.23 to 8.40. In central Illinois country, grain deals quoted shell corn bids up 4 to 5 cents at 3.49 to 3.73. Soybean bids were 1 to 2 cents higher at 8.33 to 8.79. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 5 cents at 3.18 to 3.84. Soybeans were a penny higher at 8.20 to 8.60. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were a penny higher at 8.56 to 8.85. Basis is unchanged at 4,400 to 1,500 in November. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 281.20 to 298.20, down $2.70 a ton, with basis steady at 1,400 to 3 over the October. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 3 to 5 cents higher at 374 to 389, with basis steady to down to at option to 15 over the December. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted to produce the corn bids 5 to 9 cents higher at 351 to 372, with basis unchanged up for 2300 to 2 under the December. Soybeans ended steady to a penny higher at 845 to 853, with basis steady to down 1 at 5,500 to 47 under the November. East St. Louis barge loading terminals placed their producer corn bids 2 cents higher, 361 to 362. These elevators raised their soybean prices a penny, quotations at 865 to 866. Soft wheat closed up 5 cents at 490 to 491. And Milo ended the day mostly 5 cents higher, 358 to 359. Contract bids producers for October-November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 330 to 364, soybeans at 824 to 860. In the central part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at 349 to 371, soybeans at 833 to 875. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at 318 to 384, soybeans at 820 to 860. And June-July wheat at 467 to 498. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to Tuesday's livestock futures that finished mostly lower. Live cattle for October lost 7 cents to $98 even. December live cattle were down 35 to 104.02. February live cattle were down 65 to 110.45. Feeder cattle for September gained a nickel to 136.55. October feeders were down 37 to 134.20. November feeders were down 85 to 133.17. Finally, lean hogs for October lost $2.85 to 63.62. December lean hogs gained $1.97 to 70.67, while February lean hogs gained 75 cents to 75.85. So to recap your livestock futures from Monday, live cattle were down 7 cents to 65 cents, feeder cattle gained a nickel to down 85 cents, and lean hogs were down 2.85 to up $1.97. Now I'll move on and take you back to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Monday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday afternoon's Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 13 cents higher in a range of $44 to $46, with a weighted average carcass price of $45.08. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were weak, with moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $18 to $21, 4 to 5 weight at $19 to $23, 5 to 6 weight at $21 to $25, over 600 pounds at $22 to $29. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for bears and gilts at the country buying points were weak, with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $23 to $31. Receipts for Illinois bears and gilts have totaled $35,670. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 304 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $68.66, which was 45 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $220.62, which was 26 cents lower. Select carcasses at $196.57, which was $203 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 117,000, compared to 115,000 for last week and 113,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 487,000, compared to 485,000 last week and 414,000 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville, by the Litchfield National Bank, and by the CHS Service Center, farmer-owned with global connections. Once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy. And in Ag News for a Tuesday, there's new hope, yet lingering uncertainty after China Friday announced it will lift Putin of tariffs on U.S. soybeans and pork. Does it mean a deal's finally at hand, or is the latest thaw in the U.S.-China tariff war simply part of an interim deal that may lead to a more permanent, longer-term agreement? No one seems to know, but there are lots of options. Illinois Farm Bureau board member Chad Schultz.
We would hope that we could work out a deal with China. We send an awful lot of product there, and we figure product will get there at some point, somehow, even if it's got to go through another country. But we really need to be able to work with any country that's willing to buy our products.
Schultz knew about China's latest commitment to buy more U.S. pork and soybeans the day of this interview, but it was still cautious.
We know it's going to be a long road before we get to an agreement with China, we think. I think farmers are prepared for that, but we don't want to close any markets that would be available to us overseas somewhere else.
China's latest relaxing of tariffs follows a two-week delay by President Trump in tariff hikes on Chinese goods, and it could benefit both nations' presidents politically, depending on meetings now and in October. An interim deal could get the two sides past structural trade reforms that China so far has refused to make. And China's Commerce Ministry hedged last week, saying it supports purchasing a certain amount of U.S. farm produce, but gave no details. In other national ag news, President Trump has proclaimed this week as National Farm Safety and Health Week. Trump signed the proclamation Friday, designating the week as September 15th through the 21st, 2019. The theme for this year's National Farm Safety and Health Week is Shift Farm Safety into High Gear, as a reminder that this is everyone's responsibility to prioritize safety on the farm and rural roadway. USDA says this week is an opportunity to spread awareness of the inherent risks associated with work in agriculture and commit to improved practices that advance health and safety. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue says promoting farm safety will help our American agriculture workforce, adding, "Farming is not always the safest profession, and it is our responsibility to continue to improve workplace safety." According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 581 workers in agriculture and related industries died from a work-related injury in 2017, making agriculture one of the most dangerous professions in the United States. We can expect some volatility in the oil market following the weekend attacks in Saudi Arabia. Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading says volatility is going to heighten tremendously over the next few weeks because of the attack. Bauer says the drones had a cost of approximately $15,000 and suggests oil facilities can and will receive further attacks in the future because it's simply too easy to do. The facilities attacked by drones and reportedly cruise missiles over the weekend produce roughly 6% of the world's oil supply. The U.S. Energy Department has said it is willing to release oil from strategic oil reserves if needed. Oil prices yesterday briefly spiked 19%, the biggest spike since the 1990-91 invasion of Kuwait by Iraq. The attacks also represent the largest disruption of maximum daily supply loss in history. Officials at GasBuddy, a crowdsourced real-time fuel price reporter, predict prices will increase 10 to 25 cents a gallon. Additionally, prices could increase higher depending on how long it takes to restore production at the attacked facilities. In other national news, it's a sign that the end of the year is just around the corner. The Old Farmer's Almanac is hitting magazine stands across the country. Ben Kilbride with Yankee Publishing says the Old Almanac started in 1792 by Robert Thomas, and he noted Thomas's weather predictions were incredibly accurate for the 18th and 19th centuries, making the Old Farmer's Almanac very popular with the American farmer. Kilbride says Thomas enjoyed success through much of the 1800s.
And he worked as editor-in-chief until the day that he died, and then it just kept going. And then in the early 1900s, Yankee Publishing decided to buy it.
Kilbride says new this year articles are gardening, donkeys, sports, and much more. In our last national story for today, farm groups, leaders, and members of Congress gathered at the National Mall in Washington last week to rally for approving the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement on Trade. The rally happened in front of a 25-foot RV decorated with pro-USMCA signs that had traveled 20,000 miles to 30 states and made 100 stops to promote the approval during a Motorcade for Trade event sponsored by Farmers for Free Trade. The Hagstrom Report says House Ag Committee Chair Colin Peterson of Minnesota was in attendance. He's already deviated from his personal history of opposition to trade agreements by endorsing the USMCA months ago. Peterson told folks attending the rally to be patient, but to also expect a vote sometime in the fall. While U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer has sent his proposals to address Democratic concerns to House leadership, Peterson says he hasn't seen them yet. Farm leaders also repeated earlier statements that USMCA will provide farmers with new market access to Canada and Mexico while keeping the zero-tariff platform they rely on. Farmers for Free Trade also held a roundtable discussion last week for ag groups to discuss the impact of the USMCA on each sector. And as lawmakers reconvened in Washington this week, Central Illinois Congressman Rondi Davis says their number one priority should be approving the NAFTA agreement. Congressman Davis says Mexico has ratified the agreement and Canada is expected to soon, and believes the longer that Speaker Pelosi waits to call the agreement for a vote, the more leverage they give to China.
We're going back to Washington today, and I think the most important issue that we can vote on in the next few weeks is the approval of the USMCA. That's the new NAFTA. You know, this is what President Trump said he was going to do when he was campaigning for president. He said he'd renegotiate NAFTA and make it better. He did that. We have better worker protection standards in Mexico. Mexico's already ratified this. Canada's on their way. Illinois' greatest trading partners, 40% of our exports go to Canada and Mexico. And all we're waiting on is Nancy Pelosi, since she runs the House now, she's got to put that bill on the floor for a vote. And frankly, I think the longer she does not do that, the more leverage she and the Democrats in Washington give to countries like China to not sit down and negotiate fairly with the United States.
Congressman Davis believes passage of USMCA opens up opportunities with agreements from a host of other countries, in turn putting more pressure on China.
Well, again, I do believe if we can pass the USMCA, if we just get Speaker Pelosi to put it on the floor for a vote, just put it on the floor for a vote, it will pass, I believe, overwhelmingly in a bipartisan way. And I think that opens up the floodgates for bilateral trade deals with countries like Japan, South Korea, the UK, and the EU, just for example. And what that does is it puts pressure on China, because you're taking away their ability to do bilateral agreements with some of those countries. And really, it puts us in a better place to really get an agreement with them. And I think that's what they're waiting on. I mean, just think about it. China's not going to negotiate a deal with the United States when they sit back and look over the president's shoulder and see Speaker Pelosi holding up a trade agreement with our two greatest trading partners, Canada and Mexico. And do they really think it'd be easier to pass a China deal through Congress? Heck no. There's no incentive for them to negotiate until the USMCA is passed. And this is going to be on Speaker Pelosi's shoulders if she doesn't do it.
Davis calls the ongoing impeachment efforts of Congress a waste of taxpayer dollars, and in a weekend statement says, quote, Congress has a long to-do list that requires negotiations between both parties, negotiations that become impossible when one side is consumed with impeachment. President Trump has been in office nearly for 3 years now, and it's time to move on from the 2016 election. Moving on now into State of Illinois Ag News, we have the latest crop progress and condition report for you from last week. And for that, we'll join Brad Summa with the National Ag Statistics Service office in St. Louis.
There was an average of 5.7 days suitable for field work across the state, and producers are busy preparing to start the fall harvest. Average rainfall across Illinois was 1.16 inches, and the average temperature of 74.8 degrees was 6.5 degrees higher than normal. Topsoil moisture is now rated at 12% very short, 25% short, 57% adequate, and 6% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated at 11% very short, 22% short, 61% adequate, and 6% surplus. For the corn crop, corn in the dough stage reached 94%, up from 88% last week and compared to 100% for last year and the five-year average. Corn dented was at 67% compared with 53% last week and 94% for the five-year average. Corn mature was rated 14% compared to 8% last week, 72% last year, and 53% for the five-year average. Corn harvested has now reached 1% compared to 6% for the five-year average. Overall, the corn condition was rated 5% very poor, 14% poor, 40% fair, 35% good, and 6% excellent. Switching to the soybean crop, soybean setting pods reached 93% this week compared to 90% last week and 100% last year and the five-year average. Soybeans turning color reached 25%, up 22 points from 1 week ago, and behind the five-year average of 67%. Soybeans dropping leaves is now at 3% compared to 55% last year and 33% for the five-year average. Overall, the soybean condition was rated 8% very poor, 14% poor, 36% fair, 36% good, and 6% excellent. In other crops, 88% of the alfalfa hay has been cut for the third time compared to 95% last year and 94% for the five-year average. Pasture conditions across the state of Illinois are now rated 8% very poor, 14% poor, 43% fair, 33% good, and 2% excellent. Again, this has been Brad Summa, Heartland Regional Director of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in St. Louis, Missouri, reporting on the crop conditions for the state of Illinois.
And moving on now into more local news. At the end of this week, on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 19th, 20th, and 21st, will be the 2019 Purina Checkerboard Days Customer Appreciation Event at Hamel Co-op. With more information on this year's Customer Appreciation Event, I talk with General Manager of the Hamel Co-op, Amy Rozier.
Our Checkerboard Days, like you said, Purina is celebrating 125-year anniversary, and to be part of that, we are going to celebrate with them. We have some in-store sales those days. We're going to have some discounts on our Laena products. You can buy two bags, get one free. Our Purina mineral tubs are going to have a discount on them. Our Equine Senior and Strategy products are all going to be discounted. Buy so many bags, get one free. And then some in-store products like Leaning Tree gift cards, cookbooks, beekeeping supplies, pet toys. And we have kids' toys and gifts on sale, too. So we're excited about that. We have a few in-store drawings. Our grand prize is a iRobot Roomba, which I think every person could appreciate. They're wonderful things. We're kind of gearing up, celebrating Purina's 125th anniversary, because next year we actually celebrate our 100-year anniversary here at Hamel Co-op. So we're excited about that as well.
And also, you'll have a in-store expert on some of these products that Purina has as well that I see.
Yes, on Friday, our Purina rep, David Williams, is going to be in-store here, and we're going to set up appointments if anyone wants to have a one-on-one consultation. This is kind of different from whenever we go out and do our on-farm calls. Some people have busy work schedules, and they can't make on-farm calls, so we kind of do it in-store day once a year so people that have schedules can arrange something that works for them.
And again, we're talking with Amy Rozier with Hamel Co-op, and this Appreciation Days will be going on September 19th, 20th, and 21st, so we're just about a week away from that.
Yep, you can stop by and see us. We're going to have, there's no purchase necessary to enter our drawings. We're going to have some other stuff like in-store gift cards and some other items that our companies that we work with have donated. So we're going to be drawing for a bunch of different things. We're going to have donuts and kind of ice in the morning and ice cream in the afternoon. So stop by, grab a cool treat or a tasty donut, and see what we have to offer.
And again, that was Amy Rozier, General Manager of the Hamel Co-op in Hamel. And if you'd like to attend their Appreciation Days, which will be next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 19th, 20th, and 21st, you can visit the Hamel Co-op at the corner of Old Route 66 and State Route 140 in Hamel. Coming up again this weekend on Sunday, the Montgomery County 4-H will be holding 4-H shooting sports along with archery and air rifles. It'll take place again this Sunday from 1:30 to 3 in the afternoon at the 4-H Park in Butler. This is week 2 of 4, and they'll be holding shooting sports again on Sunday the 29th, and again on Sunday, October 6th. In other events coming up next week, next Monday will be a quilting class at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro. That class will take place next Monday evening from 6:30 until 8, and will be week 1 of a 6-week series that will run from next Monday, the 23rd, through Monday, October 28th. In other events coming up next week, the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District will be hosting a conservation tour on Thursday, September 26th. It will start at the U of I Extension Office in Hillsboro. Registration will begin that morning at 8:30, and the bus tour will begin at 9. The tour will then return to the Extension office in Hillsboro for lunch and presentations. The Soil and Water Conservation District requests that you RSVP by this Friday, the 20th, to be sure that there is enough food available for lunch by calling the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District office at 217-532-3361, extension 3. The presentations following lunch will be given by Abigail Peterson with the Soil Health Partnership and David Kleinschmidt with Progressive Agronomy Consulting Services, LLC. Again, if you're interested in this event, be sure to RSVP by Friday by calling the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District at 217-532-3361, extension 3. And that just about wraps it up for this Tuesday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us, you can email it to us at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So for this Tuesday morning, September 17th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.